Morning, everybody. Our reading this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 1 through to 16. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our heart. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, nor from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. For you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to all men in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last.
Thanks, Anna, and hello again. Let me pray before we get right into this particular passage here this morning. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible, which is your word, and we pray this morning, like the Thessalonians, we might receive what you will say to us, not as merely ink on a page or some sound waves coming out of someone's mouth, but we might recognize the scriptures, which is being passed down to us as the very words of God. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, this morning, I just want to start by asking you, have you ever failed at anything? Right now, you're probably thinking of all the different kind of funniest home videos that you might have seen in the 90s and the noughties. You might be thinking about YouTube clips. Have you ever failed at anything? Have you had things in life that you've had a go at, but try as hard as you might, you just couldn't pull it off? And I don't mean that your cake didn't rise or you fell off your skateboard, but rather, have you ever failed at something that you poured your heart and soul into? Like a business, like a home reno, or even a relationship that just hasn't worked. Failure, it's really not that funny, is it? Failure can be devastating. And we want to be mindful that things worth doing are often hard and takes a few failures. Albert Einstein famously was quoted to have said, success is merely failure in progress. All right, every now and then in the long progress of failure, you get a bit of success. We don't want to give up on important things, even though it's devastating to fail. But even more devastating is not knowing what success looks like. I mean, it's clear what success looks like when it comes to starting a business or doing renos or making a marriage work. But here we are this morning. Many of you are followers of Jesus, watching on, and some of you are watching on and wondering what it's all about. Have you ever given thought to what success and failure might look like? when it comes to God's opinion. Have you ever wondered what success and failure means as a follower of Jesus? In our passage this morning, the Apostle Paul, he wants to make very clear, he wants to make sure that we know how to assess failure in Christian living and ministry. And he uses his visit to the Thessalonians as an example, because it's critical that we know what it means to fail and what it means for us to succeed in the eyes of God. And it's all about how you tell and receive the gospel, the good news about the Lord Jesus. So let me just catch up on my slide here. If you have your Bibles open, keep it open. If you have one of these outlines here in the auditorium, please have that open to the back as well in the sermon outline. Be following that fairly closely. We're on point one. The Apostle Paul gave his all to visit Thessalonica in Macedonia to tell people about Jesus there. But his trip looked for all money to be a dismal failure. You can look it up in Acts chapter 17. That's the book that the QuizWorks crowd was actually in as they teach our children. And in the book of Acts, you see, the people of God faced a lot of opposition. Now, it's no different for Paul either. Paul's time in Thessalonica was rough. He only lasted three Sabbaths, okay, three Saturdays. So that's about 3 weeks worth at the most of telling people about Jesus before he's run out of town. See, some Jews got jealous. They rounded up some rough characters, they formed a mob, and they started a riot in the city. They looked for Paul, but they couldn't find him, so they grabbed another guy instead to throw him in jail. It's a far cry, isn't it, from the reception for, say, Billy Graham back in the 1950s and 60s. And Paul's life was still in danger even after that happened, so much so that that very night, under the cover of darkness, the little church that Paul had started, they had to get him out of town. See, just 3 weeks and the champion of this new cause called Christianity had to run away with his tail between his legs. So on the face of it, Paul's flying visit to Thessalonica, it seemed like a dismal failure, doesn't it? But here at the outset of his letter to the Thessalonian Christians, he wants to make sure that they know, as he does, that his visit was not a failure. He actually is going to remind them of all of these events. And even more than that, he wants to make sure that they know that the model that he left is a model for all believers in telling and receiving the gospel, regardless of what actually happens, regardless of the outcome, so that they can keep going. So these Thessalonians and us, we can keep going as we long for the day of Christ's return. So that's why the very first thing we read in chapter 2, verse 1, is this. Chapter 2, verse 1. You know, brothers and sisters, he's talking to the Thessalonians, that our visit to you was not without results. Literally, not in vain. He's saying his visit wasn't a failure. Paul says there are two main things that happened that meant that his visit was not a failure. So let's listen in, because these are the two important things which mark out success or failure when it comes to following Jesus. And the first thing is that Paul tells the gospel well. He tells the gospel well to the Thessalonians. With the help of God, he says, they gave the Thessalonians the gospel. Let's read verses 1 and 2 now. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dare to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. See, Paul starts his assessment of his visit to Thessalonica with his giving of the gospel to them. And put simply, his trip was successful simply because it happened. But not just that it happened. He did it in spite of strong opposition. There it is in verse 5, verse 2 again, halfway through. With the help of our God, we dare to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. Now, we've already heard a couple of times this morning, you saw in the QuizWorks presentation, Herod killing James. You see Peter getting locked up by Herod. And we see Paul run out of Thessalonica. It was happening everywhere. But despite everything that was going on, at great cost to themselves, Paul and his buddies stuck at it. They made sure that the Thessalonians heard the gospel. They made sure the Thessalonians were given the gospel. And that's a reason why Paul's visit wasn't a failure. See, if they'd given up on telling the Thessalonians about Jesus at the first sign of opposition, then that would have meant their visit was a waste of time. But they didn't. They gave them God's gospel in spite of strong opposition. The second thing about Paul's giving the gospel to the Thessalonians is not just that he did it, but how he went about telling them the good news of Jesus Christ. See, Paul didn't try and trick them like some con artist. No, he appealed to the Thessalonians with pure motives, simply to please God. Have a look with me at verse 3. For the appeal we make, Paul says, does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness, he says. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else. In 2017, Gold Coast woman and wellness guru, there's such a thing these days, a lady by the name of Belle Gibson was charged with falsely claiming to have had cancer and then profiting from it. You see, thousands of dollars of donations came her way, but she was found to be guilty because she didn't have cancer. She was a fraud. She was a con artist. She used people's sympathy simply to make a profit. Not so with Paul. Paul went and told them the gospel to please God. No selfish gain to be had here. See, if Paul had gone and to try to make a quick buck, if Paul had gone to manipulate them in order to squeeze some cash out of them, if Paul had gone to butter them up in order to flatter them and try and win them over and not actually give them the truth of Jesus Christ, if he'd done that, well, in terms of the gospel, his visit would have been a dismal failure. But that's not what happened. See, Paul appeals to the Thessalonians. He says, you know we never used flattery. He even calls God as his witness in the way that he gave the gospel. He gave it clearly. He gave it plainly, driven by a desire to please God and not people. No deception, no trickery, just the plain truth of God. No jazzed up messaging with, you know, fog machine and lightworks and touchy-feely music in the background or promises of wealth if they gave money. Paul and his companions, because they were entrusted with God's gospel, and so to please God, they spoke his gospel plainly. That's another reason why his visit was not a failure. And the last thing about the way that Paul gave the gospel to the Thessalonians is that Paul gave the gospel in love. He treated them as a mother and a father treats their children in the way that he gave them the gospel. So it's really hard to miss that in our passage, isn't it? It's kind of smacks you between the eyes. But just before, did you notice an odd little phrase? Paul says, we were like young children among you. Have a look with me, halfway through verse 6. He says, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Now, it seems a little bit odd to be talking about himself behaving like a kid, doesn't it? Especially when in just a verse or two, he's going to talk about being like a mother or like a father to them. What Paul's getting at here is that in love, he didn't wield the real authority that he had as an apostle. Peter mentioned it at the start of our service. He was entrusted with the gospel. Paul had real authority, but he didn't throw that around. He didn't throw his weight around as the apostle to the Gentiles. See, children, what do they do? They don't have authority, do they? Well, they shouldn't. They don't have any weight to throw around. They don't get to wield authority. Rather, and just like that, just like children, Paul served people in humility, in love, in order to please God. But he shifts it up a gear when he compares himself to a breastfeeding mum, halfway through verse 7. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. See, some of you know this firsthand, and some of you are soon to find out, that the picture of a nursing mother holding and soothing and rocking her baby, it's tender, it's loving, it's caring. But it's more than that as well. It's the picture of a newborn baby getting vital, life-giving and protective milk from the mother. So the way Paul gave the gospel to the Thessalonians was just like that. Life-giving nourishment, the word of God no less, the gospel from a gentle and loving mum. See, if Paul had gone to the Thessalonians and just kind of told them the gospel, right, and then chuffed off out of town as quickly as he could at the first sign of trouble without a care for them all, see, that would have been a failure. But he didn't. He shared his life with them for those 3 brief weeks, as well as sharing the gospel with them. Let's read again verse 8. So we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. It kind of begs the question, doesn't it? How well do we love one another here at ARPC? With that sort of deep affection and tenderness? Or are we as Christians merely fair-weather friends who run at the first sign of trouble or inconvenience? See, not only did they share their lives with them, but out of love, Paul also bent over backwards so as to make it as easy as possible for them to hear about Jesus. If we keep reading in verse 9, surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day. Now, he's not being metaphorical here. He's literally talking about working with his hands. Paul was a tent maker. He worked with leather. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. See, Paul didn't want to be a burden to them financially. So he made sacrifices. He worked at night. In fact, he worked night and day to see that nothing got in the way of the Thessalonians hearing the gospel. And then in verse 11, Paul returns to the family picture that he was like a dad among them, he says in verse 11. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. Paul finishes off this family picture by pointing to the father's role in shaping and training his children to live well. In particular, how a father fulfills this responsibility in the way he speaks, encouraging, comforting, urging them to live worthily of God. And the father's responsibility carries authority, doesn't it? Authority exercised to urge his children to behave in the way that they should. And at this point, it sounds a little bit contradictory to what he said about being little children among them. But I think Paul was simply saying that he relates to them like family. Whereas in most things, he doesn't demand respect or obedience or payment, right? Like what colour the carpet's going to be, what sort of how long the curtain and drapes are going to be, how often you mow the grass. But when it comes to important things, when it comes to their relationship with Jesus, Paul pulls out all the stops to make sure that they are living worthily of God's kingdom. He shares his life with them in love as he shares the gospel. So are you getting a sense at this point of why Paul's visit wasn't a failure? His example is challenging, isn't it? Let me ask you, as a follower of Jesus, if indeed that's what you are here this morning, do you have the humility to serve like a child? Do you have the love to love others like a nursing mother? Do you have the responsibility, the sense of responsibility to be like a father, to be about making disciples? That's the model Paul leaves for them, and that's what he leaves for us as well. His visit was not a failure. His visit was all about the good news about Jesus, and in spite of strong opposition, with pure motives to please God and in great love, Paul gave them the gospel. And lastly, point 3 on the outline, our last point here, Paul's visit wasn't a failure because the Thessalonians received the gospel, and they received it well. They received it as the very words of God. Let's have a look at verse 13. And we also thank God continually, Paul says, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Just catch up a little bit. But how could you tell, though, that these guys received the gospel so seriously as the words of God? Well, last week we saw that they turned from idols to worship the true and living God. But further proof here is that they were willing to suffer for this gospel. Read on with me in verse 14. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews. Again, we saw it in the QuizWorks presentation. The Jewish church in Jerusalem were persecuted by their countrymen, the Jews. And so the Thessalonians were persecuted, it seemed, by the Gentiles, by the Greeks who lived there with them in Thessalonica. They were there. There were people there who hated the gospel, and they brought serious trouble on anyone who would believe in this Jesus. And yet the new church in Thessalonica, they persisted in believing in Jesus. They received the gospel as it really was, the very words of God. And so they were not to back away from it one bit. They received the gospel well, in other words. So that's another reason why Paul's visit wasn't a failure. And to emphasize the importance of receiving the gospel well, Paul now turns his attention briefly to a group who didn't. In verses 14 and 15, Paul speaks grimly of the Jews who not only reject the gospel, but mistreat the churches in Judea. Their actions are unfortunately in keeping with how they've treated God's prophets in the past, and as punishment, they've lost the privilege of being called the people of the one true God. And that's verse 16. That's the judgment that's already come upon them. See, that privilege of being called God's people has been taken away from the Jews. And we're going to pick this up in Romans in term 4 a little bit more. But for now, Paul is just saying, no longer does being a Jew mark you out as one of God's people. It's now all about Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that Jews can't be a Christian, a Jew can't be a Christian, just that being Jewish, well, it's not enough. And Paul spells this out as a reminder that receiving the gospel well, it is serious business. The Jews lost their standing as God's people over it. And so for us Gentiles, to reject the Lord Jesus is to find yourself falling headlong into the terrifying future, facing the wrath of God. And again, more of that when we get to later chapters of Thessalonians and into 2 Thessalonians as well. But for now, what have we seen? We've seen that Paul's visit to the Thessalonians, it was many things, wasn't it? It was dramatic, it was violent, it was quick, it was risky, but one thing it wasn't, it was not a failure. Because in order to please God out of love, in the face of strong opposition, Paul gave the gospel and the Thessalonians received the gospel. And it was these two things that are key to assessing ourselves as a church. So how are we going at telling and receiving? Friends, we started this morning thinking about failure. It's a shame when the things that we put our heart and soul into doesn't work out. But it's a tragedy when we don't realize what it actually means to succeed or fail. And when it comes to following Jesus and making disciples, Paul leaves us a clear example of success. It's to tell and receive the gospel well, as we live for the day of Christ's return. Because here at ARPC, we have the same gospel, don't we? We believe in the same gospel. We come to faith through the same gospel. And we're on the same mission to grow as disciples and to make disciples just like Paul did, through giving and receiving the gospel. Being convinced that's what God is on about. Of all the things that God is doing in this world, that is the thing that is most important to him. That's his number one priority, to have people glorify and honor Jesus, his son, as Lord and Savior. And if that's what God is on about, then that's what we're to be on about, isn't it? Between now and when Jesus comes back. So how are we going individually and corporately according to Paul's example here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? But we want to encourage each other, don't we, to keep sharing Jesus with people in spite of opposition. So when you're talking to someone about Jesus and someone else comes in and joins the conversation and they kill you for it, I mean, hopefully metaphorically, not literally, that doesn't mean we stop talking about Jesus, does it? It doesn't mean that we don't bring the topic up. In spite of opposition, we persist in telling our neighbours, in telling our workmates, telling our friends. We tell them about Jesus in spite of strong opposition. But we also do this in love. Now, like what we saw with Paul sharing the gospel and sharing our lives with people around us, going out of our way to help them understand Jesus, that's going to take time, isn't it? It's hard to share our lives and the gospel with people if we can't give them time. So it'll probably mean giving up on some things in order to create space in your life for other people to hear about Jesus. Let's not delude ourselves. Making disciples is inconvenient. It's going to take up time that we perhaps had planned for other things. Paul worked night and day. He endured beatings and imprisonment. The Lord Jesus, he went to the cross and he calls us to carry our own crosses, which is extraordinarily inconvenient if you think about it. But it's what God is on about. And so with deep conviction, that's what we ought to be on about as well. And not just individually, but corporately as a church. Friends, as COVID-19 progresses, as it rages all around the world, as it is doing right now, it's not enough simply for us as Christians and as a church to simply ask, how can we return to normal? How can we simply remain safe? Look, that's important. You heard me before say that. That's important, and it's important to pray for that, but it's not enough. We have to ask, how can we be about making disciples at this extraordinary time? In this time of disruption and crisis, to reach out with the gospel of life to others, to give the gospel to as many people as possible. One church here in Brisbane I heard about are doing a great job of that. See, at the beginning of the shutdown, one of the people group that were really, really affected here, right here in Brisbane, were the international students who often worked in, well, Sunnybank, just to our east here, in lots of those food places that were shut down. And what did they do? They organised hampers, food hampers, to go out. And through that, to try and make contact for the sake of the gospel. Can we be praying for things like that? Can we be on the lookout to hear and to discover that people that we can love and share the gospel with? Please be praying for that. Please share your ideas with me and with the elders as well, how we can do that. We'd love to hear. But be prepared to make space for it in your lives as well. Because together we want to give the gospel well. And together we want to receive the gospel well as well. And you can tell that the Thessalonians received the gospel well because they were willing to suffer for it. Now, can people tell from looking at us, the lives that we live, that we receive the gospel well? Can they tell that we have the deep conviction that comes from knowing that Jesus is in fact the ruler and judge and savior of the world? Now, I know for many of you, you have received the gospel. And I praise God for you. I thank God for you. You are receiving the gospel. And for some of you, you're doing it even when you don't know it. What do I mean by that? You might be sitting here this morning thinking, look, I'm barely holding on as a Christian. It's been a long time since I've managed to open my Bible. It's been a long time since I've wanted to pray and speak to my Heavenly Father. You've got doubts. You've got fears. There might have been some seriously terrible things that have happened in your life. There might be some seriously terrible things happening in your life right now. Maybe you've endured and are enduring opposition. And yet despite this going on, perhaps days, weeks, months for you, maybe even years, yet you are still here. A Christian, hanging on to Jesus, committed to the Lord Jesus, struggling perhaps, weary possibly, yet through it all, you are still a follower of Jesus Christ. If that's you, let me just tell you, you are a terrific encouragement to your brothers and sisters who know what you're going through. Thank you. But brothers and sisters, let's keep rallying around each other. Some of us at the moment, by the grace of God, we're not in that place. We are enjoying a deep, settled conviction in the things of Christ. But friends, wherever we are, let's help each other to receive and keep receiving God's gospel well. For not to do that, to give up or to drift along or to be apathetic, that would be gospel failure. In spite of fears and doubt, confusion or opposition, let's stand firm to be the people of the conviction that Jesus Christ, he really and truly is the Lord and Saviour of the world.